Once again, take a moment to stretch up and settle in. Perhaps you'd like to focus on sea rest. If that's available, natural, fun for you. Or perhaps hear rest, or feel rest. Perhaps you'd like to broadly move among all of them. Or maybe the focus on rest doesn't appeal to you as a technique, but there's something else you like to do. Whatever you'd like to do. Good. Now, we're going to go over nurture positive emotion. Again, we're going to just go through step by step, gradually learning this new technique. For nurture positive, usually we encourage you to sit comfortably so you don't have to work with physical discomfort. So if you want to just keep sitting, if you're quite comfortable, fine, but feel free if you wish to stretch your legs a little bit, sit a little more comfortable. Our general theme is going to be positive affect, meaning positive emotion. Use the specific theme. It could be something related to love, friendliness, compassion, gratitude, forgiveness, and so forth. Bring your attention to talk space, the place in your head and or at your ears where you would likely hear mental talk, hear in, the place of hear in. And we're going to intentionally create a syllable, word, phrase, sentence, or sequence of sentences that have positive emotional content for you. Any language, any particular direction of positive emotion is fine. Repeat that over and over. Hear it in talk space as a concentration exercise, a sort of mantra. At the same time, if possible, bring your attention to your emotional space, your heart space, where you would tend to feel positive emotion as an actual sensation in the body. The mental talk may cause the pleasant feel to arise in the body. Also, you can create pleasant emotional feeling by physically smiling. If you're in a deep restful state, your body may smile automatically all the time in reaction to the rest. Feel rest can cause pleasant feel in. Or you may be experiencing a lot of flow and energy and your body smiles emotionally. That's another source of pleasant emotion in the body. If possible, simultaneously concentrate on the positive talk in talk space and the pleasant emotional sensation in your body, emotional feeling space. If you cannot find pleasant emotion or create pleasant emotion in your body, that's okay, then just listen to the talk as a kind of mantra concentration practice for a moment. Good. Now, for just a moment, let go of talk space and bring your attention to image space, the place where you would likely see mental pictures. For most people, that's a kind of mental screen in front of and or behind their eyes. But there's more to image space than that. So wherever image space is for you, bring your attention to it and create an image that is associated with positive, pleasant emotion. It could be a person. It could be a physical object. It could be a symbol. It could be an archetype, an avatar. It works for you. The mental image, the visualization, may not be vivid. It may not be stable. That's fine. Just the hint of form is sufficient. Hold that positive image as a concentration. If at the same time you can access the emotional body, feel the feelings, whatever it may be, love, gratitude, devotion, can get the body involved, then it's going to be an image feeling system. Otherwise, just the image if the emotional body is not available. Be good. Now, hi. Would I just like to hold the positive image? Or just the positive mantra, the talk? Or just the emotion in the body? Or would I like to maintain two at once? Or all three? Whatever is easy, natural, productive for you. The positive sort of vanishes, reestablish it. It pulled away, gently return. You're developing concentration power. In this case, you're learning how to stay with positive thought and or emotion relevant right now. So the attention wanders, gently return. Taste the concentration. You're developing sensory clarity, getting to know visual thought, auditory thought, or the emotional body by intentionally activating them. Taste the sensory clarity. You're developing equanimity. It's possible that the negative will come up. You let it. Let it expand and contract as it wishes. You're releasing. Your concentration and clarity are going to the positive, but your equanimity embraces any possible negative. Taste of equanimity is the taste of purification, catharsis, vishuddhi. Okay, let's take a few minutes to open it out, questions or reports. Yes. Sorry to point to people. I'd like to know all your names, but. Yes.
Two issues, chaos in my chest, everybody's dying.
Yes.
And And so I can do it, but it's
I'm pretty sure I know what you're reporting. So you're intentionally thinking and feeling love.
Thinking.
Yeah. Is it image and talk, or?
I was working with a phrase, conditioning love for all human beings.
So you have both the image and the talk very clearly.
Yeah, working with both of them very clearly. And then on the other hand,
the opposite. Your phrase is ahava.
Ahavat chinam.
Okay. I'll get that one later. But I understand. I get the general idea. Okay. And you keep focusing on the positive image and positive talk, and you just let the negative, the opposite, just be there and do what it wants to do. Is that correct?
Definitely, and plus I feel pretty equanimous.
Okay.
But it's okay, it's just so bizarre because it's like two completely
different. Yes. Okay, so this is what I would call doing the technique perfectly. That's exactly, you know, now you've got pleasant feeling. That's doing the technique perfectly. That was exactly the description. I said it's not a war between the good and the bad. Often everything works on contrast. It's all about yang and yin, expansion, contraction. So don't be surprised if when you focus on positive, it really brings up negative. So you just let it play itself out. All of us have a certain storehouse of negativity within us, but it's finite. If we identify finite, okay? If we identify with it, hold on to it, we recharge the battery. If we suppress it, we recharge the battery. If we take hands off, let it expand and contract as it wishes, then we're not touching it to recharge any energy into the negative. And eventually, it just starves to death because we're not feeding it. So that was so once you establish what you just had there, we have this expression in English, it's a numbers game, or it's a matter of time, meaning all you have to do is keep doing that, and time will do the rest for you. It will clean out the poison and pain. So that's perfect. And you had a second question. That's it. That's just another negative to let it do its thing. The arrogance is working its way out. So you just keep coming back to the positive, and that's just like the other stuff. It works its way out with time. Yeah. I knew someone would bring that up. This question. Yeah. Okay. I'll repeat. So when I did talk feeling, it felt like meditation, it was focused. But when I did image feeling, the images turned into a movie and I was entertained and fantasy, and pretty soon it wasn't really meditation. Is that more or less?
It was hard to stay focused.
Yes, hard to stay focused because it wants to sort of go into this whole scenario. So that's where the discipline comes. So you try to just keep one image, not have a whole entertaining slideshow. Okay. You'll either be able to do, it's like a PowerPoint, internal PowerPoint. Well, that's not concentration, you're right. So you'll either be able to more or less keep one image, or you won't. If you can't, then just do it in the talk feeling system. Otherwise, you can practice, come back to the same image come back to the same image. And then it starts to have a taste of concentration to it. So, yeah, I knew someone was going to bring that up. It's like, oh, it just turned into this like slideshow. What should I do? And that's what to do.
And the second one is
For nurture positive, it can be present, future, or past. Okay. Some people go and they sort of try to clean up the past from the present. So, yeah, you're allowed to go any place in time or space. Well, remember, you choose a specific theme.
If I do this
theme. Yeah, you choose a specific theme. So the image, the talk, and the emotional body should match that theme in general. Go ahead. Distorted.
So I don't know.
Okay, well, you're right.
It's difficult also to come out of it.
I'm going to repeat, and if I get it wrong, correct me. So there's this zone or state that I go into sometimes. It's like I don't have any borders, and everything is like really tranquil, even though there's some mental talk going on. And my perception of body is distorted. It's like it's really large or really small in some ways. Is that it? And then, and actually it almost is like a force that's pulling me in or under that I would have to actually make an effort to get out of. And it's good at the beginning, and then some fear comes up. Pretty much nailed it. Okay, so what is happening is that the source, or spirit, or whatever you want to call it, is reaching out and grabbing you, okay, pulling you into it. Now, that's a strange experience for a human because it's an impersonal experience. We're used to the ordinary ordering principle. The ordinary ordering principle for a human being is my mind has answers. And my body is comfortable, okay? Then I'm ordered. But there's another ordering principle that's deeper than having answers in the mind and being comfortable in the body. But it's not a human sidur, okay? It's not a human ordering principle. It's a spiritual or divine or nature ordering principle. And when a human being first directly contacts that, and that's what's happening to you, okay? You're beginning to directly contact the source directly, okay? It can be a little scary because it's not human. To be human means there's boundaries. Now the boundaries are going away. So then fear is the natural reaction for a little while. Fear is definitely human, okay? That's the last piece of human to go before we have a brief moment of enlightenment. The last piece of human that we usually hold on to is the fear of what's happening to me now. Am I dying? Am I losing my mind? Am I going to be able to function after this? Fear arises. So if fear arises, you either can ignore it and give yourself to what is pulling you, or if you can't ignore the fear, then you can work with the fear. You can focus in, you can open up to it, etc., etc. until you sort of work through. With time, you become used to this. It's not new, it's not scary, it's just with you all the time. And you, I use this word again, acclimatize. How do you say it in Hebrew? You acclimatize to it. It's like you're going up a high mountain and suddenly the air is too thin. I can't live here. But then you get used to the thin air and then you go a little higher and then, no, the air is too thin. I can't live here. Then you get used to the thin air. So it takes a little while to get used to this. So what is it? Well, we could call it absolute rest, or we could call it the activity of the source. As the months and years and decades of your life proceed, you'll have a clearer and clearer understanding of what that ordering principle is, that non-human ordering principle that is starting to grab you. I can tell you, I can describe what it is for me after many, many years, but it may not make a lot of sense. It may sound rather strange. But what's grabbing you is the divine nothing. But the divine nothing has two sides. One that affirms and expands. It's pure space. Ein Sof, in the sense of boundlessly large. The other side of the source is Ein Sof in the sense of boundlessly small. And they're both working on you at the same time. That's why you're getting those distortions, why it seems like I'm huge in some way and really thin in other ways. We could say that God's hands that mold consciousness moment by moment, like a sculptor, formless sculptor, without the working on the clay of consciousness. You're actually experiencing that. And it's an ordering principle. As long as you simultaneously give yourself to the expansive and the contractive, in Kabbalah they call it, it's the Eitz Chaim, okay, so it's Chesed, is expansion, is contraction. And if you give yourself to both at the same time, then you'll be perfectly ordered. You'll have an order that can never be disrupted, no matter what happens in your mind or your body or the world. That is what is beginning to happen to you. Okay? And Mazal tov. Didn't bring my glasses, it's all a blur, sorry.
I chose elation as the emotion, and not a slideshow or a movie, but literally the exercise, or am I misinterpreted it?
And was there pleasant emotion in the body at that time?
Yeah, very much so.
And could you have a sense of being concentrated on the image and the emotion?
Absolutely.
That was perfect. It can be content-wise, it can be anything, as long as it sort of tastes like meditation as opposed to tasting like fantasy.
Yeah. And regarding the active, I mean, since we started doing the nurture positive, if that's feeling in, or if...
Well, yeah, if you're crying and, you know, whatever, yeah.
Just because it's kind of manifest.
Well, yes, the it's interesting. The emotion is an ambiguous word in English and in most languages, because it refers to both a sensory experience and the external display that may accompany that sensory experience. So feel in refers to the sensory experience. There may or may not be an external display, but that's not, that may ride on the feel in, but the external displays belongs to a different dimension. Oh, to have those spontaneous movements? No, that's the kriyas that we've talked about every day, and because they come up for people. Yeah.
One about what asking before. If I take one image, but I play with it, like I take a cloud, because it's Purim now, Chodesh Adar, Simcha. and I play it. One time it's in this position, one time in that position, one time it's another kind of faces, but the same image. So it's
I wouldn't play with it too much. Okay, try to have it more or less stable.
Stable.
Yeah, the more stable, the better in general.
Okay, and another question about what I said before. If I take something like a symbol, it's something for me to be connected with the happy or love that inside me, or if I take a symbol that's outside, like what you said about Magen David or Maria or anything, does it have something like a unique feeling? Like if it's love, it's a unique love. It's have its style, it's have its color, it's sound. If it's love of this thing or other thing, some symbol or other, does it change? Does it like I'm taking love from another place in human, in the universe?
Whatever appeals to you, any of those are fine. So there's a lot of room for individuality in this technique. Yes. Let's say it's positive emotion. And let's say that something happened in the past that was negative. I'm not saying you have to do this, okay? I'm just saying an example. So something in the past happened that was negative. you could have that image from the past, hold that image, but have positive talk about it in the present, and have a joy and a smile. Let's say someone hurt you, for example. In the past, you were hurt in some way. So you could visualize the being hurt, and you could tell yourself something like, okay, I love the person that hurt me. And you're actually smiling and feeling love going towards the image of the one that hurt you in the past. So you're using strong feeling in the present to sort of magically reach into the past and make it different for you. Maybe when it actually happened, you couldn't love them. Now you can. So that might be one example. Yes.
Emotion at work.
Yes. There's a lot of, as I say, a lot of, with this one, there's a lot of room for individuality. Yes,
like
I understand. Yes. Okay, so if everyone heard, you know, I was working on this forgiveness thing, but it seemed like I was just faking it. And then later on, like, a lot of negativity came up. And sort of, well, what should I do about that? So I would say, essentially, in terms of unconditional happiness, okay? There's conditional happiness and unconditional happiness. And both are important for human beings. So conditional happiness, maybe you take some action in the world about some situation, okay? It's We won't talk about that now. We'll just talk about unconditional happiness or deep happiness or absolute happiness for you. In terms of absolute happiness for you, you meaning any individual human being, me, there are essentially two things you can do about negative emotions because of, you know, what people do or what has happened and so forth. There's two things you can do, and I strongly encourage you to learn how to do both because they complement each other. One is what we're doing now, which could be described as emphasizing the positive. Now you say it seemed like faking it. With this technique, that's okay. Actually, it may be faking it, okay? But it's setting a certain positive direction and it's developing certain generic skills. So even if it's faking, even if the positive is very small and the negative is very big, if you can taste some degree of concentration and clarity with the positive, and you have some equanimity with the negative, even though it seems like fake smile, fake everything, that's still okay. You're still doing the technique perfectly. So one thing you can do with these negativities is what I just said. The other thing you can do is turn your attention towards the negativity and complete it, digest it, okay? Metabolize it. So how do you do that? Well, once again, the apology, I don't have time to teach the technique here in this retreat. It's in my manual, it's called Focus In. But essentially, how do you know that any negative ever happened in the past? How do you know that any negative is happening now? How do you know that any negative could happen in the future, imaginable? It can only come up as some combination of see in, hear in, feel in. There's no other place sensorially that that negative can come up for you. So you can separate it out. You can work just with the see in for a while, just with the hear in, just with the feel in. And by work, I mean attempt to unblock the expansion, contraction of that experience. You just let it do its thing. At some point, it goes from being a solid particle to a vibrating wave. And you get the sense that you are letting go forever of this. You're being set free from it forever. And that's the taste of purification. It may take 5 minutes, or it may take 5 hours, or it may take 5 months, or it may take 5 years, depending on how deep. But you don't lose out. The longer it takes to fully digest, the deeper it purifies consciousness. So if it's something really big and really deep that takes a long time to complete, that's okay. Because when you do complete it, your transformation is proportionally deep to how long it took for nature to digest it. So it's a combination of deconstruct the negative, which means untangle and unblock. Deconstruct the negative and reconstruct the positive over and over and over again. Now, we've been over this theme, okay? It's both. And if you know how to do both, then you can, then you'll be able to be happy independent of conditions, even if seriously bad things happen, have happened, will happen. You'll still have something, a place of deep spiritual okayness. Okay? Yes. Yeah, or I'll repeat it. I did sort of say that, yes. There's,
I'm asking,
yeah.
I'm asking about the physical sensation.
Good. Let me repeat, and then I'll explain why I said good. So, you said, meaning Shinzen said, that the self arises from mental image, mental talk, and emotional body. But I find that there's a lot of self in my physical body, the feel out. So I have rest with it, subjective rest, see in, hear in, feel in. I have subjective rest, but there's a lot of physical sensation in the body, and that's me too, and that's a self that's still there. And then, to which I, Shinzen again, said, good. Good that you said that. Okay. So what is that about? There are two ways that you can think, oh, actually, more than two. There are many ways that you can think about what self means. Okay, many ways to think about that. My teacher, Sasaki Roshi, uses the word self in a wide range. And you learn to develop a sensitivity. You know that sometimes when he's using self, he's referring to thoughts. Other times when he's using self, he's referring to thoughts and emotions in your body. Other times when he's using self, he's referring to your thoughts and your emotional body and your physical body. Other times when he uses self, he's referring to your mental image, your mental talk, your emotional body, your physical body, and your perception of the world. Your sights and sounds are also yourself. After all, they are your senses, right? And other times when he uses self, he means no self, the true self, the nothingness that is the source of all of the above. Any of these can be called self from a certain perspective. The core self, the most the innermost part of the small self is certain kinds of image, talk, and body emotion. Your picture of your own body, that's a mental image. That's very related to self. Your comments that of praise and blame of yourself, I'm good, I'm bad, I'm good, I'm bad. That's mental talk, but that's very related to self, okay? Emotions in the body associated with shame and pride, they're part of feel in, but they're very related to self. So at the core of the small self is what in English we call self-referential image, talk, and emotional body. It's picture of yourself, talk about yourself, and the social emotions of pride, pleasure, and shame, discomfort. Now, that's at the center of the small self. Then a little larger small self is any image is me because it's my thoughts. Any talk is me because it's my thoughts. Emotion in the body is me because whether it's related to whatever it's related to, that's me. But a broader self includes anything in the mind and anything in the body. So yeah, you're absolutely right. The feel out is the mind, so we can the small self can be the self-referential self, it can be the thought and emotion self, a little larger is the mind-body self. So, why, since broadly self, the small self is mind-body, why do I talk about that sort of more limited? Because that limited one is a system, and you can study it, because the image triggers the feeling builds until there's talk. So you can watch that inner system play. And if that inner system turns off for a while, you can sit through fainting levels of pain, and your body will just dissolve, okay? If that inner system is completely off, then after 3-4 hours, the body just dissolves of its own. But if that system is interplaying with the body, then you go day after day after day suffering. So there is a reason why I isolate the image talk emotional body. It's convenient to work with. But the reason I said good when you said what you said is that you had the insight, well, the teacher may be saying this, but my experience is that there's a broader identity. The physicality of my body is a very primitive level of I. And you're absolutely correct. And you can work with that.